Oh, jam. You all right, Clues? Did I get you?
Yeah. I was just wondering if you were going to make it through the actual Monday Night Magic intro or if we were going to Manipool again tonight.
Oh, I don't know. Let's find out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. I'm losing my headset. Of Monday Night Magic.
That's a good show.
Twitch.tv/TheManipool. We're also back on MTGcast, too, by the way.
It's true. Not that you would know from the headphones.
It's true. I am Chewy. I am full of Lexington-style barbecue and peach cobbler, and I'm sleepy.
And a knife.
No. Wait, hang on. Let me get right. Wait, hang on. I can do it. Lift it up slightly, would you? No, that's too high. You're killing me. Yeah, right about there. Hang on. So I'll
You're killing me. Yeah.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
That would have been a good thumbnail. Anyway. So, yes, stabbing me with a knife through the internet is Squee.
Brought to you by Rakdos. Why wait?
And over there, currently giggling, is Clues.
I'm just picturing Rakdos as having that slogan, and I like it.
I mean, he is in marketing for a reason.
True.
He is.
Squee, not Rakdos. I don't think Rakdos needs to market.
I mean, Rakdos has those carnival barkers. I think they'll be all right.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Anyway, so this is Monday Night Magic number 645. Apologies.
Sure is.
Do it.
I said sure is.
Sure is. Apologies for those of you watching live that this is so late, but I had to go meet a family member that I'd never met before. So that was neat.
That is a plot hook.
Yeah, it was a cousin from California who is in his 60s now.
I'm fairly certain that this is the beginning of an anime.
That would be a transfer student.
Yeah. And also, I left and I'll probably never see him again. So...
Well, Monday Night Magic got real dark real fast.
What? No, I mean, I've made it to 38 and I've never met the man, and now...
Yeah, if this is the pattern, it'll be a while.
Yeah, now I met him and we're probably done now. But but yeah, he and his wife are very nice, and his doggo was a sweetheart. She's a French bulldog named Charlie. Aww.
I respect that.
So yeah, that's why the show's late, because go beat them and then have dinner and then... sit around and shoot the breeze for a while, and oh crap, it's late. The old man was actually the one who went, "Don't you need to be going soon?" I was like, "Oh yeah.
Aren't you needed on the internet, sir?"
The Monday Night Magic light was on in the sky or something. Anyway.
Yes, because we need to change the batteries. I think it runs on C batteries.
We actually have a fair amount to do this week, so let's get to
it, shall we? Look at that magic.
Oh, I didn't fix the... I always forget one thing, and this time it was Chrome.
I mean, Chrome's job is to fix itself.
Except it doesn't. All right, so first
it's
up...
It's not good at it.
First up, we've got, finally, the... I didn't touch anything. The announcement of the top 8 from the previous month's season of Magic Arena. The top 8... I don't know if this is the top 8, but these are the... The top 8 who accepted the invitation and who are eligible and all that good stuff. We've got... Oh, God. I'm going to butcher all of these names.
Yeah, you are.
And how?
So there's even some screen names in there.
We've got Beatrice Grancha, who is Alia Dischain, let's say. Andre Strosky, who is a magic pro or was or something. I don't know how that works anymore. Eduardo Annunziata. Oh, there we go. Annunziata. Okay. Who's Quicksort on Arena. Luke Faley, who goes by Luke. That's L-E-W-K. So he gets points for that.
Yeah.
Teruya Kakume, who is...
Kakumai.
Kaku what?
Kakumai.
Kakumai. Excuse me. Who I think... might be a Magic player.
Well, obviously.
No, like a pro player of some sort, I think. The team, the name sounds familiar, but not one of the big names, so it doesn't, it doesn't stick. But anyway, Taiju Sugiyama. Bill?
Sugiyama, yeah.
Okay. Who goes by Adver. Yeah. Zachary Keane, or Z-Keane. And Thiago Saporito, who is definitely a pro player. So there you go. These are the other eight that will be going to the... No. The Mythic Invitational. There we go. At PAX East. So there we go. That's all of our 64 players set now. After last week when we mentioned that Amaz wasn't going to be able to make it, which is sad.
Gotta catch them all.
But they got someone to replace him.
So are these the ones who had to grind Arena to get this invite?
Yeah, okay. These are the ones who finished high enough in the season for Magic Arena and were eligible and could do it. So not necessarily the top eight, although they might be the straight top eight. I don't know. I didn't check and don't care. But these are the ones who are getting the invitation based on the finish in last month's ranked ladder on Magic Arena.
No, no, Ratter. It's totally Ratter.
More rad than others.
Which was the sequel to the 80s BMX film, Rad.
I don't know. None of these usernames are terribly rad. Like,
or was the sequel to the video game for the PS2, Robot Alchemic Drive, also known as Rad.
Wow.
I don't know that one.
So I appreciate it was great. The fact that when you expand these, you see more information about each of these people.
Yeah.
But some of the questions that they answer are strange. Like, are you going to PAX East with anyone? And, like, that feels a bit invasive to me. Like, will there be any witnesses if you are mugged? Like, why would you ask these questions? That's so strange. It's just so odd.
Also, by the way...
He says, wielding a knife.
Yes. Streamers will be able to co-stream the Mythic Invitational feed on their own Twitch channel. So if you want to stream the Invitational, like with... And co-stream essentially means you can, like, add your own commentary or whatnot.
Yeah.
Then you can do that. No, I'm not doing that. Don't ask. But there you go. That's the thing. So it wouldn't surprise me if... find that people are co-streaming this in other languages and whatnot. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But
I'm really hoping that someone on the internet takes it upon themselves to do a stream with, like, puppets. Like, straight up having, like, sock puppets if you want to syphil an Ollie-it, or if they've really got the time and the budget, actually make some Muppets. The maximum points if you just Swedish Chef the entire thing. I have simple wants.
It's true, yeah. You do. Anyway.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it anyway, so hey. I won't have the internet then.
Why not?
I won't be here.
Why not?
Because Japan.
But their internet's better than ours.
Japan will finally...
Not when you're traveling.
Japan will finally but have
nothing's
come...
Nothing's better when traveling.
...and claimed Squee after all these years of... taunting
there him. Will be cherry blossoms and all kinds of stuff. Maybe this will be the time when I sit under that tree out in front of the school and then finally meet the love of my life and muster up the gumption to actually ask them to some kind of social gathering that is not at all intimate.
Wait, but what if this love of your life turns out to be what's the name for the crazy obsessed chick? Like, there's a term for that.
Yandere?
That's the one, yeah.
Well, then we know what happens to the eye and goblin that week. I brought my own knife.
I was going to say, why do you think he has the knife? Anyway, all right. So there you go. That's your... Let me go back to the
so
screen.
So if you don't
hear
from me for 3 weeks, you know what happened.
That's your top eight right there. So your last eight. Let's move on to other things.
Sure.
So, hey, Wizards showed us an update to the Wizards Play Network, which you know is the... You might not know, but that's the network of stores and whatnot. That I actually haven't had a chance to read this. Hey, you guys, what the hell is this?
It's a website.
Yeah, it's totally a website. Oh, no, wait. It's you streaming your desktop.
My browser.
So,
okay. So in the past, okay, man, boy.
Tim Berners-Lee decided that we needed a better internet.
Right. So once upon a time, there was Gopher.
Okay, we shouldn't actually waste this time. That was stupid.
Yeah, please don't.
All right. You're right. We don't have time for this.
Carry on, please.
So, when WotC interacts, WotC doesn't really interact directly with the stores. The WPN does that, which is kind of part of WotC, but it's not like you know, Mark Rosewater just calls up a store and says, hey, do you guys need boxes? No. All this stuff is arranged. That would be really neat if you just get this phone call and it's, hi, this is Mark Rosewater. Do you need boxes? Yes.
Especially if he sounds like Mark Rosewater when he asks.
Yeah. Anyway, the Wizards Play Network, they're the folks who, for lack of a better term, and I'm totally going to paraphrase here, they were kind of the sanctioner for stores. So they're the ones who kept track that, you know, your store was actually, you know, officially with WotC and they had you listed on their website and they would send you all your pre-release kits and... all the emails that tell you, hey, get ready for this. Hey, this is when you need to schedule your tournaments. All that like coordination sort of low-level stuff is done through the WPN. Well, the way the WPN had been set up, there were, I want to say, 4 levels of WPN store. And so the actual gap between like tiny store that like fires an FNM like maybe once a month with 9 people and... we run like multiple events every night of the week that are sanctioned, and we have FNMs that pull in like 100 people and pre-releases that pull in 300 people. There are only 4 steps between those two things. Technically, there were only 4 steps between Rando, we run 1 event a month, and Star City Games running an open. So, I mean, it was really very strange. So they're changing all of that. So the way the levels are going to happen, it's going to be scaled in some way, question mark. I mean, like all of these sorts of announcements from WotC, it's, hey, we're doing this thing. Details coming soon.
True.
And that's what you get. So they're altering the thresholds that stores had to reach certain levels. I mean, once upon a time, you had to have a certain number of new players every month. You had to have a certain number of unique players every month. A certain number of events every month, certain number of events over a certain size every month. And you had to keep track of all of these metrics. And if you didn't reach those metrics, your WPN status could be demoted and then you would get less product, less allocation, less promos, you know, all that kind of stuff. So all of that is being altered and that is a thing is what I'll say. I don't think we have enough detail to really know for sure. The only thing that it does tell us, which is kind of interesting, is it does tell us that WotC is still paying attention to paper and WotC will still be doing things with paper. Otherwise they wouldn't have bothered. So Arena hasn't killed everything yet.
Yep. The only thing that really matters here for the purposes of the people that actually attend stores rather than the people running these things are that they're changing out how they're doing promo cards. So instead of you get a promo card for whatever condition your store is decided on, like in most cases, it's Friday Night Magic. Now they're going to have these little packs of 4 cards, which are going to have promo stamped rares and whatnots from the most recent set. One of the cards is going to be, it just breaks it down. So, Slot 1, promo stamped rare, mythic rare from the most recent set. could be any rare mythic rare. Slot 2 is a promo stamped rare mythic rare from a short curated list. This will be from standard legal sets, and they'll be hand-selected by Magic's Design Studio. The list will be public. And apparently there will be some kind of curveball here, and you'll find out what that is in Core Set 2020. They say we'll like it. So, ominous. Tune in later for news. Slot 3 is promo-stamped alternate art basic land, and slot 4 is the promo slot. With each standard legal set, there will be a selection of special season-specific cards, just like FNM promos. Although for the first season, there will be 5 cards, up from the usual 3, so breaking the rules already. Most of the time, you can expect to see an alternate frame card you're accustomed to, but again, they're going to do something special with the first one, so take that precedent. Yeah. So, keep an eye out for Core Set 2020 when they roll out whatever they're doing here.
There you go, then.
Also, I would like to point out that if Chewy scrolls up a little bit, the logo for WP and Premium looks fake. That looks like something that a third party would put together. But that's just me making fun of things.
No, that's fair.
And also, these promo packs... It looks like are going to be... Wait, no. Yeah, these promo packs will be given out at the store's leisure.
Yes, there's no specific...
So these aren't like... These are the F&M promos, and these are the open house promos, and these are the whatever promos. It's just, here are the promos, give them out, whatever works best for your store.
Whatever makes you happy, buddy.
So, yeah... Interesting.
I think they're operating on the assumption that you're going to do whatever makes the most sense for your group. Because, as mentioned, some places don't get regularly firing F&M, but they do have people that hang out and play there all the time. Other places get massive F&Ms and massive pre-releases and stuff. And they may not have enough product to just distribute it freely to everyone. Like, we don't know the details of that, so maybe they'll find another way to do it. The check and balance on this is just the idea that instead of just getting rated based on total numbers of, you know, events firing, people in events, all these things that Clues just mentioned, there's going to be some element measuring quality here, which is not described in detail, but theoretically that's going to have to involve some input from the players for it to measure quality, because otherwise all stores are like, we're great, and that's useless. So... presumably, if they're measuring quality and they do something really stupid with their cards, then they will get punished for that in a different way. Details to come.
Okay. So there you go. We don't have much more information past that, so more later.
Yeah, more later.
Check back in the future when time has occurred.
For more information, it'll happen behind the scenes. You'll never know. It'll be fine.
Correct. Okay, moving on. Hey, this happened today.
That's where stakes come from.
They've shown us now the deck list for the Challenger decks for this year.
Da-da-da.
So we've got United Assault, which is a white weenie deck.
Gasp.
I like it.
If we check this out by rarity, we've got 2 History of Benalia for Mythics. Rares are 4 Benalish Marshal, 2 Legions Landing, 2 Tikotli Honor Guard, and 1 Remorseful Cleric. Yeah. We've got Lightning Aggro, the mono red deck.
Oh, that sounds even better.
It's got 1 Mythic, Rekindling Phoenix. And 11 rares, 1 Banefire, 2 Experimental Frenzy, 4 Goblin Chain Whirler.
Oh, yeah.
And Orton. 4 Runaway Steamkin. So this, damn.
This actually just looks like a deck.
Yeah.
22 Mountains, Lightning Straw. Oh, this is so nice.
I mean, that is the point. Remember, the Challenger decks are supposed to be buy them and play them in F&M without getting completely murderously stomped.
Yeah.
I am just going to stay here in my warm, happy place.
Well, we're going to keep scrolling.
Yeah. The Deadly Discovery, which is the black-green deck, has Overgrown Tomb, ooh, and Vraska Relic Seeker as its mythics. And then Argyul's Bloodfast, Find Finality, Jade Light Ranger, and Woodland Cemetery as its rares. Eight of those. Neat. And then the big one that everyone is talking about is Arcane Tempo, which is...
garbage.
Right. Which is a red-blue deck.
deck.
one Arclight Phoenix.
Important.
As its mythic, which is the huge one. And also its rares are Entrancing Melody, the Mirari Conjecture, Niv-Mizzet the Perrin. That's three melodies, two each of the Conjecture and the Perrin. And three Sulphur Falls, which are another large chunk of change.
At least they were at some point.
No, no, they still are. So, yeah, someone has already done the math. Oh, you can't. Okay, you know what? Here, hang on. Is there any way I can make this? Oh, no, that's even worse. All right, well, I don't know if I can make this so you guys can see it. Let's see here.
Stay on target.
Does this work? Okay, that gets it close enough. as of right now, I don't know where these values came from, but if you go out and buy these decks individual cards right now, the White Weenie deck is $64. The Lightning Aggro deck is $80. The Golgari deck is $72. And the Arcane Tempo deck is $123. So, yeah, of course, people are already complaining that these aren't as good or as deep or as expensive as last year's. Okay. Sure.
Good talk.
Yeah. These have an MSRP, which is weird. I guess the no MSRP thing starts after these, since these were already announced, I guess.
Probably.
But they're going to be $30.
I mean,
again,
yeah,
that's MSRP.
Like, apparently, Sulphur Falls still goes for like $8.
Yeah.
Which really surprised me. But okay.
So, there you go. That's the Challenger decks.
Okay, then.
These all look like at least somewhat playable in Standard.
I really appreciate the fact that they didn't feel locked into there will be two mythics in all of them. Because getting just the one mythic in the Lightning Aggro deck, but getting four Chain Whirlers just makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's just them not putting themselves in a corner. And that I like that.
Yeah. So there you go. That was the big news today, because new product that people can complain about. So that's what they're doing.
It is their way.
And yeah, since we're not finance guys, because, you know, we have souls, we're not gonna touch that. But
my financial advice, as always, is to not buy Magic. Play Magic, enjoy Magic. Don't go into Magic expecting to make good financial choices.
Yeah, that's not how Magic works.
No.
Okay, so moving on. What is this? All right, so I didn't look at this either. This was from earlier today. What is ECCC, by the way?
I just heard this earlier.
Oh, Emerald
today.
City Comic Con.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, okay. Cool. I did not know that. But anyway, so there was a Magic Story panel at the Emerald City Comic Con this weekend. And apparently, if you sign up for the Delray Books Magic newsletter, You'll get 20 free Ravnica prequel stories from Django Wexler. And
that's a lot of prequel stories.
Yeah. And there's a pre-order offer on the War of the Spark novel by Greg Weisman. If you order the book and share your receipt with Delray Books by April 23rd, you'll receive an art print of the book's cover signed by Greg Weisman and Magali Villeneuve. I really need to learn how to say her name.
Nice.
You know, the artist. And yeah, the cover art on that is pretty sweet, so yeah. I was hoping there was like a full shot of it, but there's not. So yeah, there's that. Isn't that adorable?
It is.
So yeah, there you go. Delray Books is just diving in. Go get them. And there are links to these things in the show notes. It's a Twitter link. And then there are links in those tweets. Got it? Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now on to some sad news. On the 15th, which I completely missed, Sam Stoddard announced that he was leaving Wizards of the Coast. He will be a senior game designer at Mythical Games, working on the Blankos Block Party. I don't know what that is, but it's a game that Sam Stoddard is working on.
Sam has been with WotC since he joined as an intern in June of 2012.
Yeah, and before that, he was a Magic podcaster, because it turns out there are a lot of Magic podcasters who end up going to WotC. By a lot, I mean like 4 or 5.
At least one from this show.
Yeah, at least one from this show. That was Gavin. So, there you go. How about that? So, big thanks to Sam Stodd for all of his stuff over the years, and I hope he does well at Mythical Games.
He gains the ability to tweet without putting a hashtag on it now.
That is true.
I don't know what that's like.
I was going to say, is that really tweeting if there's no hashtag?
I mean, it's not what I do.
Excuse me. And then also, Aaron Forsyth tweeted on also the 15th that Mark Globus left WotC. I don't remember what Mark does, but Mark has been there forever.
Yeah, he joined after the first Great Designer search. He was part of that, and he got hired in the fall of 2006.
Right. Wow, so he's been there for 13 years almost.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I think he was part of R&D, I want to say.
He was. Senior producer.
Yeah.
There you go. So, well, damn. I don't know where he's going because this is a tweet from Aaron Forsyth. But
yeah.
I don't know if Mark Globus is on Twitter. If so, I couldn't find his account. The only Mark Globus I found hasn't tweeted and was a real estate guy. And I was like, I don't want you. You're not the one I want. All right, so best wishes and good luck to both of those guys for whatever they do next.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's only one bit of non-tournament news left, right? It's the bug blog!
Oh, right, we're jumping to that now.
Yeah, why not?
Easy. All right, well, yeah, so the bug blog, I only ever really show you when I think it's funny. But these are things that are wrong with Magic Online that sometimes have funny outcomes, or just phrased funny when they post them. As usual, don't use anything in here to get an advantage. Maybe avoid using cards if they don't work properly, and if someone uses it against you for an advantage, report them for cheating because they're cheating. Very quickly going to run through a few of these because there's not a lot. General, the foil treatment on certain cards results in darker colors. Which
I love that
is amazing because it's digital. But
well, wait, does it do it to the card backs? Because then No, that shouldn't work at all. Okay, I got nothing. Go
you
ahead.
You can't put foil on the back of a card, Clues.
You can digitally.
You can't put it on the front either. It's just a stupid little logo they put on it. But whatever. Yeah, I have to assume that this was an attempt to fix the problem of cards curling in Magic Online, and they just went too far. So we'll have to see where it goes after that. Because it's just a shame. All right, let's move on to some actual gameplay stuff. So, first up, cards such as Unmoored Ego allow players to search libraries even after Shadow of Doubt is cast. Well, that's just a mistake. That sounds like a much more Moored Ego than expected.
So Shadow of Doubt says players can't search libraries this turn, and Unmoored Ego says choose a card name, search target opponent's graveyard, hand, and library, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I suspect that the coding is different for that because searching from multiple zones is probably not set up in the same thread, and they just didn't think about it.
Either that, or it's because you're searching your opponent's library instead of your own.
Oh, yeah, that could be it, too. Although,
maybe.
Yeah, it says cards such as, so this could also be, like, lobotomized and other weird stuff, too. Yeah, so who knows? Let's see. Next up. If one of the two cards, Kaya or Zav Usurper, targets in the graveyard is exiled in response, the other one is not exiled from the graveyard. That's just an order of operations fail.
Well, it's an improper targeting thing. So, if you target something, multiple somethings, and one of them gets removed, the ability isn't countered unless all the targets are removed. Right, Clues?
Right.
Yeah, the game tries to do as much as it can. Yeah. So the only way you're going to get rid of that ability is to exile both cards that she's trying to exile.
Yeah.
But, so that means if she's targeting two and one of them gets exiled, the other one should still go. But it doesn't, and that's wrong.
Yeah, especially because right here it even says up to two. Just to make that a little more obvious to the rest of us, too. So yeah, that's just a mistake.
It does say up to two, doesn't it? Duh.
Yeah, so that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And now the one that I find funny and the reason why I included it here. So, if Rhythm of the Wild is in play, when its owner casts a card, such as Clone, and chooses not to copy a creature, that player does not get the Riot Prompt. And
Oh, the Riot Prompt.
I am always disappointed when I don't get the Riot Prompt, because every once in a while you need that little pop-up in the corner of your view that says, Riot, yes or no. Sometimes it's accompanied with like a Paragon and Renegade thing if you're feeling Mass Effect-y. I don't know. But you don't get it. You don't get to make a choice. It's Mass Effect 3 all over again. Everyone's disappointed. This is horrible. The Wild lacks rhythm. You're thrown off the Wild's groove.
I'm starting a campaign to get this ending changed.
You should get everyone you know online to also complain.
Oh, they're already doing that.
I mean, it is what they do. You've got to harness the salt. But yes, for the curious as to what's supposed to happen, Rhythm of the Wild says non-token creatures you control have Riot, the relevant part. And when you play a clone effect, you may have clone enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield. Doesn't mean it has to, in which case it will come in as a 0/0 shapeshifter and promptly die. But it would still be a creature coming in with Riot, which means it could have a +1/+1 counter on it and survive, or could have haste on it, which is funny. But you'd probably make it come in as 1/1. It lets you cast it on an empty board. But right now it doesn't work. So that's unfortunate. These clones are faulty. 0 out of 10 would not clone Saga again.
Correct.
That's all we got here. Take that, Magic Online. Glad you're still funny sometimes.
Okay, there. I had to add a title to the show notes.
There you go.
Okay, so tournaments?
Tournaments.
Wait, tourniquets?
Tourniquets.
All right.
Turnipats?
What?
That keeps your turnip warm.
Ah. Are you supposed to keep turnips warm? Turnips are gross.
It's true. I mostly throw them at my enemies in Mario games.
Yeah. I do it in Smash Brothers.
That's a Mario game. So sort of? Tampa?
So Tampa. That's the one.
You mean Event 7?
Good old Event 7.
Yeah, we're doing these out of order because Bilbao is Event 6, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so Magic Fest, Tampa Bay. Oh, it's Tampa Bay. Oh. Everything about this is weird. So this was Modern, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. How many people were here?
I cannot confirm or deny that they are all Florida Man, but 988 people encountered a Florida Man in this event.
Fair enough. So, the top eight, since this is Modern, in no order, damn it. All right, do we have a, we do have a bracket. All right, who won? Here we go. Roshan Eapin. Eapin. This guy won.
EpiPen?
Roshan EpiPen, yes. Playing some Death Shadow. Grixis Death Shadow.
Popular choice.
Very. Is there anything fancy? Excuse me. Going on here?
We got a zombie fish. You got your Death Shadow. Looks like we're playing by the book.
Yeah, I don't. I
look at that flippy Jason the board.
I completely.
That's how you know you're playing Modern.
I always forget about Team or Battle Rage in this deck. That's just wrong.
Comedy.
Just double strike, but anyway. So yeah, that's that. Who's in second?
Matt Costa.
Oh, good. He's right above. Playing Izzet Phoenix.
It is.
Yeah. Get used to that. He's going to be saying that a lot. But this is the Phoenix deck that we all are sick of hearing about.
Are aware of.
Yeah. Arclight Phoenix has suddenly become the boogeyman in Modern that everybody is convinced will burn down the format. And this time, and I'm saying this, they might not be wrong.
I mean, it does strike me as a flammable format. All these people are playing paper.
It is entirely possible that the Izzet Phoenix deck is just slightly too good, but it also might not be. But ordinarily, when someone's like, ban this, everything is awful, I laugh at them and call them stupid. In this case, I don't know what they're calling to be banned, but it's possible that this deck might be too good. Might be. I am not an expert, and I have no horse in this race, so I am basing this entirely off of the vibe from the community, and this seems a lot more complaining with purpose instead of just complaining because there's nothing else to complain about.
And I'm going to claim that a fix is on the horizon. You know, Modern Horizons, that thing.
Oh, I was like, what about War of the Spark?
I was making
because that's the set that's on the horizon.
About the set that,
for Modern, right. See, now
Carry
it's
on
funny that now that I'm paying attention.
Supposed to be a cheap joke, and then, haha, let's move on.
Had I been paying attention and thinking properly, that would have been good, yeah.
Yeah, would have been. Wasn't, though.
I screwed it up. Though. This is all my fault. Everybody go home. We're done.
Why we can't have nice things.
Magic over.
Are you ready for third place?
Yeah, who's in third place?
Brian DeMars is in third place.
Is it first third place?
is in the first of the thirds. Look, never mind. Brian DeMars.
He's also playing.
Also, is it?
Is it Phoenix?
It is.
Is it Arizona?
Next.
Case Johnson.
Case Johnson is on. Oh my God, Bogles.
Bogles.
What?
Bogles.
Dude, I haven't seen Bogles put up a high finish in a minute. Anything new?
Daybreak Cornet count as some kind of horizon?
There's nothing new. It's the same old deck. That's so cool. Oh, I guess there were some bannings in the previous ban cycle, so the meta is still moving around quite heavily.
Yeah. You play what you know, and it's a deck that can explode and kill people.
Also, isn't Case Johnson the guy from Portal?
I think that was his brother, Cave.
Yeah, it's Cave.
Oh, that was Cave Johnson. Okay, right. Portal 2, rather. Excuse me. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Next. Who's in next place?
Next place, which is also known as fifth place, would be Sam Black.
Okay, Sam Black. We haven't seen him yet. Here you go. Oh, Sam Black's on Lantern.
Made up. That's a made-up name. I don't believe in this person.
Sam Black's on Lantern Control because Sam Black is a terrible person, apparently.
Hey, did you know that my wife once beat Sam Black in a side limited event at a GP?
Nice. I think you've mentioned that
once. I just cut that off as beat Sam Black, and I'm like, wow.
My wife once beat Sam Black. Yeah.
It was a hammer.
It was the damnedest thing, but it happened. No, it didn't. It was a limited event, and she just had
Beat people with the stuff you open there, right?
That's right. And she just happened to open
tit
a hammer.
It was
the strangest thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Are we done with Sam Black?
Yeah, it's Lantern Control. No one ever needs to talk about that ever.
Great. And in sixth place is Eli Casis.
Or Eli Casis.
Nope. Eli Casis.
What? Sorry, yeah, Glues has to mispronounce.
We're not
things.
Allowed to pronounce things correctly.
Oh, right. Eli Casis. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Ollie Encephalo. He's also played. Ooh.
Wait, as it turns out, I'm getting these backwards anyway, by the way, because we have just done 8th and 7th place.
Oh, okay.
Glues, are you telling me you lost it at 6th?
I lost it. No, I lost it at 5th, actually, is where I lost it.
So you're just raising / lowering that bar, depending on what we're doing.
All right, let's try this again. Okay, who's in 5th?
Okay, no, who's on 1st?
3rd base! Okay, but seriously, who...
Jared Calabrese.
Okay, so Jared Calabrese is actually in 5th.
Is actually in 5th, yes.
Okay, so with Tron, Jared Calabrese. What flavor Tron is this? It looks like monogreen Tron. Yes, okay.
Okay, and then in 6th place is Shaheen Serrani.
Ah, Shaheen Serrani is right here. He's playing as a Phoenix. Again.
All right, then.
All right, there we go.
Okay,
totally
then,
out of order. It would be nice if they had these.
Then was Eli Casis?
Yes, that's right. Eli Casis.
And then was Sam Blanc.
Sam Blanc, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. There we go. We got there eventually. All right.
Yeah, eventually. It's close enough. Those 8 people played Dex at this event.
Dex out.
Ooh, and we've got a metagame breakdown, too. Check this out. Oh, my God. Okay, so it looks like the Is It Phoenix deck. This is...
It.
Hang on, I'm trying to figure out what this is.
It.
Here are GPA LA's 28 most popular decks. I guess this is from day one?
Based on the number of decks, I would have to assume so.
Yeah, because that's a lot of decks.
Oh, that is a lot. Okay, I didn't even notice that. Okay. So, and this is based on their around 65% sample size. So they didn't get everybody? So
they checked 2/3 of them to do this.
But yeah, so with this, about 10% of the field was Is It Phoenix. 7.5 was Green Tron and Burn. Okay. Death Shadow was at 6% of the field. Dredge was at just under 5. The Rock was at just under 4. It's going to drop off sharply from there. Before we get down to below 3%, we've got Spirits, Blue-White Control,
ooh,
Red Phoenix, Humans, and Affinity. But then look, that's only half the list, down to 3% of the field. That's only half the list. Less than half the list. Yes, Clues? So,
it's just I am skeptical that there's actually an Affinity deck in Modern.
Oh.
Well, it's not Affinity, but that's what they call it.
You're giving credit for not being Is It Phoenix.
Is it?
Like, this is the post-Clues Phoenix.
Look at all this. Just the rest, there's Valakut, Jund, Hardened Scales, Amulet Titan, Jeskai Control, Storm, Bogles, Eldrazi, Elves, Hollow One, woo-hoo! Red Prison, Merfolk, Ad Nauseam, Death of Taxes, Devoted Vizier. Couldn't get it there. Infect and Were Prison.
In your defense, Infect cuts a lot of people off early.
It does. Good news, lunch.
Hey, look, win rates.
Win rates? Oh, look, and we get win rates.
Neat.
Huh. Apparently Dredge won 59% of its matches.
It didn't play any magic, though.
That's how you win. You don't play.
It played a sort of kind of magic. Legacy Dredge is not magic. Modern Dredge is kind of magic. Little bit. It's got flashes of magic in there.
It's like a sampler platter.
Where is Phoenix on here? Is it Phoenix at 53%? 54 almost. Not bad.
As is Red Phoenix.
And poor Death and Taxes had a 36.5% win rate. Oh,
it's because it's saving up for April.
That is true, yeah. So there you go. There's a whole, just a god awful mess of information here. So if you're at all interested in how Modern was doing, you should go check this out. But then, I guess that's, we don't really need to look at the 9th through 32nd deck list, do we? Because it's going to be all of that stuff we already talked about.
Plus, we have plenty more Modern to talk about.
Yeah, I guess we got other tournaments to get to, and it's already, oh, good God, it's 11 o'clock.
All right, let's go. Buddy. GP Bilbao.
GP Bilbao.
Where's Bilbao?
Bill, where do you bow?
Yes.
Okay, and do you mean event number 6?
Yes, event 6. Where was event 6? Where's Bilbao?
It's in Bilbao.
It says Spain. Is that Spain?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Hey, look, Guillaume Matignon won. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember why you remember him?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Well, you remember.
So he won. What was he playing? Is it Phoenix? Huh.
Popular choice.
Huh. So there were 4 Is It Phoenix decks in the other top 8? Yeah.
I think so.
I think that's right. Okay, so let's. Who's in second? Oh, God, these are in order.
What?
They claim to be, anyway. So Luis Samuel Del Tor was in second playing Wur Prison. Wow. That's cool. I would not have expected that at all, actually. All right, third place, we've got, I'm going to say, Joseba Garcia?
Sure.
Something like that? Playing Dredge.
Pretty corn.
Freaking Creeping Chill is the hotness in these decks. Fourth place, Thomas Rasmussen was playing Is It Phoenix. Fifth place, Gabriel... Hang on. I have to look at the whole name like 3 times. Komaposada.
That sounds right.
Was playing a red-green Valakut deck. Whoa.
Huh.
Yeah, Molten Pinnacle. There's the Scape Shift right there. Huh, neat. Okay, in 6th place, Jan Stadler, probably Jan Stadler, whoever was playing Dredge. We're not going to get 4 Is It Drakes, because I can already see in 7th, oh god, how do you say that first name?
I do not.
Loge de Place? This person was playing Dredge.
Better at magic than me was playing Dredge.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Not at all, but that's how it's a safe answer.
And then Julian Potier, I think, was playing Shadow Zoo.
That's a cool name.
What is Shadow Zoo? Look at this.
Death Shadow?
It's got Death Shadow and Street Wraith and a bunch of stuff like that, but it's also running Taylor Swift Spear, Wild Nacatl, and Tarmogoyf.
Goyf.
Why would you pay more than 2 to kill things?
Hang on, how do you... Okay, it's got a lot of fetches to knock down your life, and a few... What are these dual lands called? My brain just completely shut down.
Shocklands?
Shocklands, thank you.
Yeah, you're going to need to get your Nacatl online.
How else do you lose? Okay, dismember takes a chunk of life. Mutagenic growth. Okay. Ooh, become immense. Thoughtseize.
You could cycle your street wraiths.
Yeah, yeah, the street wraiths go in that. Team or battle rage for the Death Shadow, of course. Lightning Bolt and Mishra's Bauble. Huh.
Neat.
How long has this deck been a thing? Is this deck a thing?
I don't think I've seen this before.
I mean, I know I haven't, but...
I don't know that I've seen it before.
I mean, I know the archetypes going on here, but I don't think I've seen them mixed together like this before.
Yeah, it's a zoo deck with the Death Shadow package, essentially, thrown in.
I mean, yeah, this deck's entire goal is to make everyone's life sort of low and then hit them harder. Or, I guess, faster.
With your 1-mana 3-3 and your 2-mana 4-5, I guess, for the Goyf.
Yeah.
And your Taylor Swift Spear, of course. And, of course, your giant Death Shadow that you then team or battle rage.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's, that's neat.
Cool.
I like the way Mutagenic Growth is +2/+2, but it's actually +4/+4 when you pay the 2 life for it. Whew!
Which you will.
Yeah. All right, then. That's a neat little thing there.
Oh, would you look at that? Yeah, I have not seen I've not seen this deck before, at least not noticed it. But let's be honest, I really only pay attention to the red decks and Legacy.
And especially and the Legacy.
And the red decks in Legacy.
There we go.
So.
All right, so we've got a deck overview from day two. Let's see what... Oh, check this out. Oh, this is just what everyone's playing. I was hoping for, like, a rundown or something. Okay, hang on. Let's not do that. Do we have, like, a metagame breakdown? We do not.
We have some spicy lists from day two.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we do. Right here by Frank Karsten. I knew it! Whoa, okay. Check this out. This is an actual picture. So, 22.2% of the day two metagame was... is it Phoenix? Wow. Next up is Other at 10%, which covers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 23 different decks. There were 10% of that. Next up
Crucial
is...
Crucial Brand.
Yeah. Next up is Humans at 7.6%. Look at that jump.
Holy crap, Slivers.
Yeah, I see that. There is a Modern Slivers deck that was running around for a little while that fell out of favor, but...
It's just funny.
Someone made day two with it, so that's freaking sick. And nice. Look, there are 3 Shadow Zoo decks listed here.
All right, then.
Do either of you know the difference between 8 Whack and 8 Rack?
I have no idea what 8 Whack is. I've never heard of
All
it.
All right.
Chaz, do you guys know? Anybody know what 8 Whack is? Because 8 Rack is, you know, the deck we've had for a long time.
Yeah.
But 8 Whack, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I sidetracked us before we could get to 6.3% of the decks were Burn.
That is true, yeah. And also Tron.
Yeah, but I mean Burn.
Oh, 8 Whack is Goblins, apparently.
So it is a Bushwhacker, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, the Goblin Bushwhacker and the Reckless Bushwhacker. Ah, we've seen that once or so on this show.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, they were the ones who had the kind of weird thing that they did when they, with their arms. No,
they came in like this. Yeah, you can't see me unless you're watching the stream, but yeah. That's...
I'm not, but I can picture it in my head.
Yeah, that's, Bushwhackers were a... Was that 80s or 90s wrestling tag team?
I believe 90s, I think.
I think it's early mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I know that. I wasn't watching wrestling back then. But anyway. So yeah, there's your metagame breakdown. Again, links to all this is in the show notes if you want to see it for yourself.
Okay.
So, okay, what are these spicy day two lists? I have to know. So here is, what the hell? Oh, White Moon. It's like Blue Moon, but it's white. Look at this deck. What the hell
is
this?
So it's the moon.
Imrakul, Hazoret, Simeon Spirit God, Wrath of God, Gemstone Cavern. What? Okay, four Blood Moon, four Chalice, of course, Lightning Helix, Nahiri, Anger of the Gods, Gideon of the Trials, Blessed Alliance, Cast Out, Chandra Torch of Defiance, and One Settle the Wreckage. Went 9-6. Not bad. It's got Rabble Masters in the board. It's got Leyline of Sanctity and Rest in Peace in the board. And Boil!
I like Boil.
And Stony Silence and a third Anger of the Gods. That's pretty funny. What else we have here? Okay, we've got... Oh, here's the Slivers deck. Are you looking at this, Clues?
I am not. I'm sorry. I was chatting with my wife in another window. My apologies. I'm back.
That's kind of like Slivers.
I mean, it kind of is, yeah.
I don't think so.
So, yeah, if you click on the spicy...
Spicy, yeah, I'm getting the spicy. One. Second deck in the spicy.
So, yeah, you've got your Cavern of Souls and your Mutavault and your Sliver Hive.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of Slivers. And Collected Company and Aether Vial.
Hold up. You're telling me that the Slivers deck runs Slivers?
And it's 12 assloads of them.
Yeah. Huh.
That's pretty cool. It ended up 8-7, by the way. Pure Steel Paladin deck ended up 10-5. Which we have seen this before a few times. With SRAM and the Pure Steel Paladin and Hercule's Recall and Retract. I was like, there we go. There's something else to put stuff back in your hand. And Grape Shot. Nice. And then Landfall Aggro ended up 7-8, but that's okay. Look at this deck.
It is a Landfall deck.
It is straight up Landfall deck.
This
Knight
was
Reliquary, Plated Geopede, Step Lynx.
I drafted half of this deck.
Scapeshift, Prismatic Omen, Manamorphose, Explore, and Boom and Bust. And of course, Valakut.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty funny. 7-8 isn't great, but I bet that 7-8 was badass.
I appreciate the density of 4-ofs in this deck.
Do what?
I always do.
Like, the density of 4-of cards in this deck is just straight up, like, everything, there's 4.
There is, like, yeah. Except like for all the one way. Each of Forest, Mountain, Sajiri Step, Temple Garden. Literally everything else is 4-of.
I approve.
Nice. Alright, so there you go. That's some GP Bilbao.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Shall we fast forward through the SCG event?
Yeah, let's do the SCG.
Even more modern.
Yeah, so this was in Philadelphia. Wait, how many people were in Bilbao, by the way?
Bilbao was 1,615.
Wow.
It was more than at Tampa.
By, like, a lot. That was...
Yeah, by, like, nearly
almost
double
Tampa.
Yeah.
That's impressive. But then Florida Man, so understandable.
I mean, I'm afraid of Florida Man.
As you should be.
As well you should be.
Because it's gothic.
All right. So, how many people were in the Star City Open in Philadelphia?
The Modern Open had 941, according to the list on the site.
Whoo!
Maybe that's where they were at.
That's a lot for a Star City Open, isn't it?
It is a lot, because they didn't want to go to Florida.
Ah, good call.
I'm going to play Modern. I'm going to go to not Florida.
All right, let's run through these. Austin Collins won with Is It Phoenix?
It is.
Jonathan Orr came in second with a Golgari midrange deck. What is this? Oh, yeah, this is that Jund deck without the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. John Greer in third was playing Dredge. Matthew Dilks in fourth with Amulet Titan. Daryl Ayers in fifth with also Amulet Titan. Dylan Donegan in sixth playing, is it Phoenix? Bob Huang in seventh was playing a Hollow One. And Alex, oh damn it.
That is a great name.
Alec, how do you say that? Is that like Shostek, maybe? Zostek? It's something.
Zostek? I have no idea.
It's playing Mono Green Tron. Okay, looking at the rest. Azorius Control were prison humans. Infect, Burn, Monogreentron, Azorius Control, and Counter's Company was the rest of the top 16.
It does counter. Company.
Was never questioned.
How far does this go? This is all on one page. There are 85 lists on this one page.
It goes all the way to 85.
What the hell?
Yep.
That's cool. Usually it stops at like 30.
Usually it's like 32-ish or something. Yeah. In the case of this one...
No, I think it's.
I wonder if this is everyone that had a certain record and up.
I always think that that's weird that it stops at 30 and not 32.
Hmm.
But anyway, so there you go. That's if you want to see even more, go check that out. Let's go. Oh, we've got the metagame breakdown for day two. There are 19 Izzet Phoenix decks. Next up is 9 Dredge and 8 humans, and then 6 Monogreentron, and then it drops to 4s and less from there. So yeah, the metagame looks oddly similar across 3 different regions, which is interesting. But yeah, the Phoenix deck is really good, and if the metagame doesn't shift soon, there might be a problem in the near future.
If the metagame doesn't shift with the release of a new thing for this format, then someone has messed up.
Yeah.
Well, that won't... We don't get that until after... Wait, the next Banner Restricted update is when War of the Spark comes out, right?
Yeah, I was more thinking... when does Horizons happen again? I've already forgotten.
I haven't the faintest clue.
Yeah, I don't know when that sort of thing happens.
Chat, do you know?
Chat, when is it Modern June? Horizons?
I'll just ask the internet.
That's, like
June.
When Modern Horizons. Huh. There's
okay,
a journal.
Said June.
Called Modern Horizons.
I believe that. Yeah, so I guess we'll find out with War of the Spark and then Modern Horizons, but...
But, like, it if it continues to warp the metagame as hard as it is, I don't know if the Phoenix deck or
they'll
certain aspects of it will survive...
Yeah.
June the 14th.
After War of the Spark. So.
Yeah.
Okay, then, moving on.
Maybe that'll be the first thing Nicol Bolas kills.
Okay, so there were some classics here at Philadelphia. How many were in the Modern Classic?
The Modern Classic had 321 contact.
That's really good for a Modern Classic. Wow.
It's a big Modern weekend.
Right? Jesus.
It's the most popular format of Magic.
You know, as much as people complain about it, you wouldn't think that, but...
Incidentally, since I took the time to look all these dates up, I'm just going to tell you that War of the Spark is May the 3rd.
Right.
The next Banned and Restricted update will be May the 20th, and then a Modern Horizons will be June 14th. So let's ban it and then release some stuff and unban it. I don't know. Carry on.
Okay. So there's a month... If they don't ban anything in the War of the Spark update, there's only a month before a giant new injection of stuff.
Maybe they'll ban it in London a week before they ban it for the rest of us.
Oh, there you go. Oh, maybe they will test ban it during one event just to see how it goes.
Yeah, there we are.
All right, so looking at the...
The London exclusion.
Looking at the classic, we've got Alexander Vu with a Grixis Death Shadow deck winning the whole shebang. Dredge in second by Oliver Tomochko. Titan Shift in third by Vinay Gupta. Fourth place, Kevin Fanakit playing Burn.
Burn.
There it was. Jonathan Sukinik, I never know how to pronounce that, playing Jeskai Control in 5th. Oh, there's an Izzet Phoenix in 6th by Christian Baker. Neil McIsaac in 7th is apparently human. Or his deck
allegedly.
Was. His deck was.
And allegedly.
Paul Mendez in 8th had the Not Affinity deck. Not Hardened Scales. That's a different deck. This is the one named Affinity that has no Affinity in it.
Yeah.
The rest of the top 16 is Monogreentron, more Hardened Scales, or no, Hardened Scales, Hollow One, Golgari Midrange, more Phoenix of the Izzet variety, and then Mono Red Phoenix.
That was the name of that show. Okay.
What We Do in the Shadows?
No. When you said humans, when you said humans in seventh place, that Neil McIsaac was apparently human, it made me remember that there was this TV show in the 80s where this guy had like built a robot daughter.
Oh, wait.
Show name?
Hang on. I know this. It was, oh God, I can see the little girl in her little red dress.
Yep.
Oh no, I had it and it fell off. Wait, Small Wonder.
It was in fact Small Wonder. Yes, I had to go look it up. I thought it was something about human, but no, it's Small Wonder. Don't look it up. It's not worth your time. It's
not really to be confused with Almost Human or Being Human.
Correct.
Right.
I don't know if I said this or not, but there's more humans in 15th and then Jund in 16th, rounding out the top 16. So there you go. Stark said, I can't believe my daughter is a robot. No. He did it on purpose. He knew.
That was an episode of Mari. Don't worry about it.
That was an episode of Mari, yeah.
I really liked Stark's previous comment. We at Wizards politely ask you to not play Phoenix at London. Like, just try it. Play something else.
No.
Like, for realsies, guys. Let's not. Can we not?
For this one weekend, you'll be allowed to play Phoenix at your local game store if your local game store is in London. Everyone else has to play something else.
Lord. All right. So now we've got the Legacy Classic. How many people were there?
There were 189 players playing the king of all formats, Legacy.
And while still being being lower than the others, that's still a lot for an open.
True.
I mean, for a classic.
It is quite a few people for a classic. But, you know, Legacy is, I'm going to say, a vibrant format. There are a lot of Legacy aficionados out there. They really enjoy their Legacies. I know I do. In first place, Brandon Osborne was playing Storm. Looks like it's an ant list to my reading. In second place, Jacob Bard is playing Is It Delver? I've got nothing clever because I barely slept last night. In third place, Mark Fedak is playing Rakdos Reanimator because we like to kill him and bring him right back. In fourth place, Keith Blackwell is playing Storm. Also looks like an ant list to my eye. In sixth place, Lucas Bishop is playing Grixis Delver. Do I like anything about that? Probably not. Leon.
Oh, wait, there's the red part.
Yeah, but the rest of it.
It's got Lightning Bolt and Young Pyromancer. You like some of it.
I like some of it. Okay, there are a few things that are okay. In seventh place, Leon Chang is playing Food Chain.
Whoa.
Now, there is a Food Chain Goblins list in Vintage, but this is not that. This is number one Legacy and number two, not nearly enough Goblins. In eighth place, Billy Mitchell.
It still has Hydroid Krasis, though.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Huh. In eighth place, Billy Mitchell is playing Is It Delver, which, let me go check second place. Yep, I still don't like it. Okay. There you go. What else have we got outside of our top eight? Some more Delver, a Grixis. No, don't care about that. Storm.
Wait,
ooh, is the 10th place Storm Tess?
Wait, hang on.
Check.
Look at Billy Mitchell.
No, it's still Ant.
Look at Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm looking.
You see the number next to him?
Eight.
Now look at the one right below him.
Oh, also in eighth, in a linear superposition for eighth, Chris Repke is playing Azorius Delver.
That must have been the most awkward cut.
Yeah, there's 2, 8, and then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Nothing else is missing.
Yeah, there are 17
there's
people
17 here.
Yeah. Okay.
I assume that they would simply, randomly determine which of the teams was going first, and then within their team, they decide which deck they were playing.
So my understanding of Legacy Clues is that when you have this superposition situation, you actually force the Legacy players who are in the same position to play two-headed giant, which gives them a massive advantage over other people with more life total, but they also might hate each other, so you might have a Rurikthar situation.
Oh, they definitely hate each other. They definitely hate each other, yeah.
Because one's going Is It Delver, the other's going Azorius Delver. They can't both have all the Delvers. It's not limited.
Right. So what you don't know is that recently Scheherazade has become a Legacy staple. And the way this works is every time it's Billy and Chris's turn,
Yeah.
They play a sub game to figure out who's playing their card in the main game.
So they can determine who the primary head is. Got it.
Right. Right. So I mean,
both decks have blue, so they're quick.
The matches take a little bit longer.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
A lot longer, but it's a lot more interesting for the folks at home. If for no other reason, every other turn, we have to explain to the folks at home why this thing is happening.
So in the sub game, if you blind flip a Delver, are you extra lucky or are you wasting your luck?
I think you're wasting your luck.
It's late. Let's keep going.
Look, let's be clear. This is the kind of crap they're going to get for letting random people like us do commentary on Twitch.
And
this is your warning.
Oh, man. If you do arrive at a round, at your match for a tournament, and you find that there is, in fact, a pair of players on the other side of the table, and they do have Scheherazade out and are trying to explain that this is what's happening, please politely call a judge.
They'll want to hear the story.
They totally will.
Yeah.
That judge will probably call every other judge they can find so that they can all gather around and stare at what terrible thing we hath wrought.
What's the collective noun for judges again? Is it like a tribunal?
A dishevelment.
Ah, okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was always when...
Right.
And I gotta say, I fell into this category too, but when I was judging, I believe it's a dishevelment of judges.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
In 10th place was some Storm. I think it's still Ant. We've got Reanimator in 11th. Burn in 12th. I don't think we have to look any further. All right, we got there.
Took us to
12th/13th question mark.
But in 13th, it says 13th.
Slash 14th?
There's Talk to Me Goose.
There is, yeah.
Matt Maverick, that is.
Yeah.
That's right. Negative Ghost Rider.
And then Death and Taxes, Jeskai Delver, and Sneak and Show, since Clues didn't want to finish it off because Burn.
No,
because
I got to Burn, and that's
the pinnacle, really.
That's where it goes. Yeah.
Pretty much is. See, we admit it. We have come to a consensus. So say we all. Meeting is adjourned.
All right. Team.
Good job, everybody. High fives all around. Shall we wrap this nonsense up because it's late?
That's fair. We should do that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinLittleBob. There's no I in Goblin because I sent it ahead to Japan so that it could find a hotel for me. Fortunately, it did. I hope it tells me where it is, though. Otherwise, it's going to be real awkward. I'm departing for Japan this weekend and will be gone for 2.5 weeks. So I'll be missing not one, not two, but 3 Monday Night Magic. So based at the current news cycle rate, when I come back, I expect to hear that we've gone all digital. It should be fun. That'll be what you do when I'm not here. Beyond that, I will be tweeting nonsense. So if you don't pay attention to my Twitter, that's fair. I often don't have time to, but since I won't be at work and I will be wandering around with a phone that has a camera in it, there's no telling what nonsense I'm going to take pictures of. It's probably a Gundam statue, though. Very likely. There's also a Godzilla statue and a Buddha statue, and I'm going to try to make all 3 of them fight. So we're going to see what happens.
Wait, you mean like, let them fight?
I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of things. Also, all the random other stuff. I'm going to go to a robot restaurant. It's going to be weird. You'll see all kinds of like what a nerd does. Also, I'm going to go to Super Potato, which is important because it is like the biggest like retro game store ever, because it's just where games go when they die. It's like Game Valhalla. My friend explained to me as you walk around, you look at the prices of all these things, but those numbers don't matter. The real question is, how many Metal Slugs is this worth? And there's a copy of Metal Slug right there so that you can get the exchange rate. So I'm going to check it out.
In
Should
Japan,
be a lot of fun.
Is Metal Slug the same as here, the Mario Duck Hunt?
I hope so. I'm really hoping so. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect there, but I'm going to be looking for weird dead peripherals, because those are the kinds of things that I can put on my shelf and not care about.
Squee, whatever you do, don't bring back a Virtual Boy. You just got your eyes fixed with lasers.
No,
this
no,
will not
I won't
help.
Get that. No. If I'm getting dumb peripherals, it's probably going to be the thing that came with Rez that I can't talk about on Monday Night Magic.
I was actually going to make a joke about that, but I didn't think I could work it into Monday Night Magic. Okay, all right.
All right.
Somebody pick me up a U-Force.
Oh, those are really hard to use. I played with one once.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Animal built one. Or rather, he repaired one. And it's really, really hard to play Mario Brothers when you're moving your hands around like that, let alone any other game. Oh, it was a very bad idea. The NES had a lot of those. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to be in Japan, and I'll be posting stuff on my Twitter feed from there. So keep an eye out for it. And other than that, I'll miss a few episodes. And I, depending on, you know, data connectivity, I may listen to what you guys say on the, like, 13-hour flight back. We'll see.
Sweet.
But if you send people to tweet at me, like, by all means do so, but understand that I may not respond to all of you if you do that, because I will be operating on whatever data I have, and that may be limiting if I'm wasting most of it uploading pictures of Godzilla fighting a Gundam, fighting Buddha. So, see where it goes.
Priorities.
It's important. So, given all that, I'm going to hand it over to Clue.
All right, hey, if you want to hear more from me, you probably need some help. But if you do, I am over on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. I will be at PAX East in just a couple of weeks. So if you happen to be there, say hello. I'll hear you. Just go ahead and just yell, hey, Clues, just that loud. I'll hear it. It's fine. Although, actually, I'll probably have earplugs in because that show floor, my God, it's deafening. But if you happen
hold
to be in
Japan.
Hold
your hand up and shout Judge. He will react.
If you happen to be in Japan, say hi to Squee.
That's true.
I think that's all I've got. I don't think I have anything interesting.
Yeah, actually, if any listeners are in Japan, let me know, because I'm not aware of them, but it would be nice to know, because when else am I going to see you? So,
fair.
Neat.
All right. Well, that just leaves me.
It's you. It's Chewy.
It me, as the kids
He's
say.
He's a small wonder.
I mean, ever since the dress, I kind of thought.
So, yeah, hi. I'm Chewy. And I do things.
It's true.
And
on the internet.
On the internet. Yeah, I've been there like 5 minutes visiting this cousin I never met. And he goes, so what do you do for a living? And I was like, oh, God. Because the old man went,
I
nothing.
yeah, I internet was, well.
I was like, I'm an entertainer on the internet. He's like, hey, a lot of people can make a living. I'm like, really? Because I'm almost to the point where I'm making a living.
Did you specifically say I'm an entertainer on the internet?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, he's old. That. I didn't want to.
I know. It's just really funny to me because there's all kinds of ways he can interpret that.
Yeah, I'm a stripper on the internet.
Oh, no. I mean, you have to make money.
I don't. Huh?
Thanks, Patreon.
Anyway, so yes, of course, Monday Night
Mythic
Magic,
level.
Monday Night Magic and The Mana Pool are both live streamed here on twitch.tv/TheManaPool, and the audio versions go up on their respective RSS feeds. Yeah, TheManaPool.com is currently down. We're working on transferring it from Scott's hosting to mine, and that's taking longer than expected. So, yeah, hopefully that'll be back up in a few days. I also stream other stuff here on Twitch. Let's see, what have I streamed lately? I finished Super Metroid, finally. I played some Hearthstone. One night I played Reigns, which is this adorable decision-making game where you're the king and people come up with things and you have to make a decision, and while balancing its effect on four different resources at the top, and if either of those, any of those resources get maxed out or dropped to nothing, you lose. And when I say you lose, what I mean is you die, and another king picks up, and then you continue. So, but that game was adorable, and after that, I streamed Happy Room, which is a game about using various tools to creatively torture dummies.
That was special when I signed on, and I'm like, oh, look, he's playing a Rube Goldberg game. Oh. He's playing a Sega Genesis Blood Code Rube Goldberg game.
Yeah. It's changed a lot. So a long time ago, I did some YouTube videos for Happy Room, and it's changed a lot since then. Like, the concept is still the same, but the tools changed, and the the background's changed, and you can change it from just a dummy to a dummy or a zombie or a robot. So those are all neat. And yeah, it has goblin guns. It has guns that shoot goblins, and the goblins have knives, much like the one Squee is currently holding, where they just...
I'm cosplaying!
Where when they hit the goblin, when they hit the dummy, they just stab him for a while. And it's really...
It's kind of like Chucky terrifying. Killing someone.
Yeah, a little bit.
They just sort of latch on and go at it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But anyway, I've also streamed some... I don't know what I've streamed in the last however long, actually, because... I have too much other stuff going on to actually store that in my memory. Hang on, I'll look. Okay, Monday Night Magic. I got a Golden Priest in Hearthstone and did a... what'd I do? A Rumble Run. Oh. That Rumble Run will end up going up on YouTube soon because it was something. And then Reigns and Happy Room... And Cap lied. He said that if you switch games in the middle of a stream, it will break it up into two videos in your VODs. It didn't. So Cap lied. Super Metroid and more Hearthstone. Yeah, that's what I've played in the last week.
Seemed right.
Yeah. It's been fun. And then over on YouTube... What's going up on YouTube? So as right now, there's some Hand of Fate.
Monos?
No clues, damn it. But it's a roguelike game where you build a deck ahead of time and then you move your little board, your little dude among cards and the cards flip up and you have to do stuff on each card. And then sometimes there's combat and it's like Batman Arkham style combat, but not quite so polished, but it's still fun. And I'm getting close to the end in these videos, so it's very, what's the word? Stressful. It's very stressful. It's very stressful.
Checks out.
So, yeah. And, of course, Smash Brothers is still going up. The World of Light mode. It is entirely too much fun. By the way, if you would like to watch one a video... of this to see how you like it, do the World of Light number 24. It's the 24th video in the series. It's called Beware the Struggle Bus. Where there was a bus during the Smash Brothers fights. You know Smash Brothers? I was being chased by an Animal Crossing character in a bus, and he'd grab you and throw you in the back of the bus and try to chuck you off the screen. And I got so scared of the bus, and I was like, and then I would laugh because it was funny because I'm scared of Captain driving a bus, and it's a really good one. I highly recommend that one. It's number 24.
Isn't that the nightmare that Steve wakes up in?
It haunted my dreams for a good few days. So I feel for Steve on the bus if that. Is what haunts his dreams.
Fair.
Also, the TMP nerf report for the Hearthstone Year of the Dragon announcement went up. It's Mike and I explaining all the cards that went to the Hall of Fame in Hearthstone and why, and then talking about all the other parts of the Year of the Dragon announcement, outlining what's going to be going on in the next year of Hearthstone. And it was before they announced anything about the new set, so we didn't know about Rise of Shadows yet. But yeah. There you go. That's what's going up on YouTube right now. In the future, there will be the Golden Priest run, the Rumble run from Hearthstone, and some of those espionage games in Hearthstone. Maybe some Reigns. I don't think Super Metroid is going to go up on YouTube because it's not terribly YouTube-y.
Yeah.
Oh, Plague Inc. will be going up on YouTube at some point. And more Smash Brothers, of course, because World of Light mode goes on forever and never ends, and I love it. And I'm determined that all of that will be going up on YouTube. So that's going to be like a 60-part series. Probably. Because I'm not done yet. And I've got something like 13 or 14 or 15 hours in it now.
All right, then.
God, it might be more than that.
You got a lot of parts.
It goes on forever, and it's so much fun, and I actually enjoy the editing process for those for some reason. So,
because they're reminding you of good times.
I think that's it, yeah. There's some games that I desperately hate to edit the videos for. Like, Hand of Fate isn't great, but at least there isn't much editing to do for it. Like, Slay the Spire. I hate editing Slay the Spire videos, but Smash Brothers, I just love it. I just love every second of it. That's why I always have so many done ahead. But anyway, nice. Anyway. Yes, so that's all of that for the youtube.com/themanipool and twitch.tv/themanipool. Yay. If you want to help support what I do, there's at least one video that goes up every day on YouTube and the two podcasts a week and all the Twitch streams 3 or 4 nights a week outside of the podcast. So lots of content all the time for you guys. And if you want to help support what I do with all that, then go to patreon.com/themanipool where you can become a lifeguard. I have a twitch in this eyelid and it's driving me up the damn wall. Okay. But there are a variety of perks. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to the YouTube videos and to Manipool episodes. Unless I can't give you early access. Like, hey, did you know the Manipool has preview cards for War of the Spark?
I hope you brought enough for everyone.
Plural.
They're all for you, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Sorry. I asked.
That's
fair. They said they were for the Manipool.
No, I get it. I leave the country and Manipool gets preview cards. You're welcome.
I do appreciate that, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Those will be going up, by the way, on April the 8th, which is a Monday. They asked us not to say that we had preview cards until after the 15th, so I expected some kind of announcement on the 15th about stuff. There wasn't one.
All right, then.
So I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I will say that they're doing previews a little differently this time, and so it's cool. It's going to be cool. I can't wait for them to tell you about it, so I can then
also the cards are printed on lunch meat. You have a set window to preview them.
But anyway, I will say, before anyone asks, we did not get one of the 36 Planeswalkers. Sorry.
Alas. But
that's okay. Like I said, they're doing something different with the preview cycle this time, and it's going to be cool. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
Cool.
So you won't get that episode early, because street date, so sorry. But anyway, what else? The rare lifeguards get the early stuff and the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that is uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. Last week's, which isn't up yet, but last week's post-show odds and ends was longer than last week's podcast.
Yeah, it was.
By like half an hour.
I'm still tired.
Because we talked about Captain Marvel and went from there onto other aspects of Marvel movies and TV shows and just went forever and ever and ever. So, yeah.
Those are the topics we talked forever on. Like comics and things based on comics.
Yeah. And the Mythic Lifeguards get the early access, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout out on the end screen of all of the YouTube videos that go up each month and on both podcasts. So I would like to thank our Mythic Lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lands Delicious, Team Uhellas Are You, Connor Kennedy, gonna skip around, The Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine, Mike Millerburn, Bartle, Dan Holm, I'm doing this backwards and this is really hard, Dan Holm, Aleph Cat, Violet Moon, John Parker, Keith Moody, Stark Maximum, Brian DeLucci, Jason Kaus, Jake Jansons, Cody Buckowing, hang on, I lost track again, I'm going up, Jason Doan, Danny Liao, Fayan Says, Casey, Sophia Brittain, PJ McMullen, Stuart Slaw, Jeff Spencer, Alex Gonzalez, John Morris, and I think I said Connor Kennedy, but he gets another one just in case I didn't. Yeah, there we go. I did that all for Jeff Spencer's kid. Just want you to know that. What was that? Hey, Magnus just subbed on Twitch for 18 months, and he's on an 18-month streak. That is the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwin, by the way. He said, I'm not last for once. I know, right? You can thank the young Spencer for that. So, all right, with that, we're done now. By the way, thank you to all of our Mythic Lifeguards. I quite literally could not do this without you. So I appreciate you so much. And all of the patrons at whatever tier you're at. Thank you so much. But with that, we're done with Monday Night Magic number 645. It's late. We're just going to
get... Hey, Chewy.
What?
Assuming this displays correctly, I think you hit a milestone in your views.
I did?
Yeah. You broke 20,000.
Nice.
I don't know what that means.
The little number that says views in Twitch. Total views under the name and stuff.
Oh, like total views.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that.
So congrats on that.
Yay. Awesome.
I just thought I'd share that before you were done.
I appreciate that. I don't know how that I mean.
I have no idea how it calculates 20,000, but okay.
Yeah, that is not, as they say, as I say, a small number.
True.
Stark has a good point. And only some of them are banned. That's true. Had to ban 3 in the last stream, but it was actually the same person 3 times. Because people on the internet are just sad, apparently.
I mean, if you ban the same person 3 times, it's because the clone wasn't letting you riot. So, I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, I did not get the riot prompt. But anyway, mm-hmm. So...
Straight to the ban hammer.
Again, we're going to go again. So, thank you all so very much for listening or watching. Joining us, let's say. Thank you all so very much for joining us, and go play some Magic.